Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Human City Urbanism for the Rest of Us by Joel Kotkin is a nonfiction book about urban planning, housing, and the social future of cities. Kotkin argues against the idea that dense, high-rise urban development is automatically the best model for modern life. Instead, he makes the case that cities and metropolitan regions should be designed around the real preferences of ordinary people, especially families, who often need more space, affordability, and flexibility than compact urban cores can provide. Drawing on urban history, demographic trends, and observations from places such as Singapore, the book examines the strengths and weaknesses of dense metropolitan living while defending suburban, small city, and lower density alternatives. It is aimed at readers interested in urban affairs, housing policy, and the practical consequences of planning ideology. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a direct challenge to high-density planning orthodoxy, Kotkin's central argument is that the dominant planning ideal of tall buildings, small units, and very high density does not match the needs of most people. He questions the assumption that compact urban form is inherently more sustainable or socially desirable, and he critiques what he sees as retro-urbanist thinking. The book is not simply anti-city, rather, it disputes the claim that one urban model should dominate policy and development. By emphasizing that many households do not want to live in small apartments or tower districts, Kotkin reframes the planning debate around preference, not ideology. This gives the book its distinctive edge. It pushes back against fashionable urban theory and asks whether built form should be judged by lived human needs instead of by abstract planning ideals. Secondly, families, housing choice, and the importance of space. A major theme in the book is that family formation and household stability require a wider range of housing options than dense urban cores typically provide. Kotkin argues that many adults eventually need more room, more privacy, and better affordability as their lives change. That makes single-family homes, suburban neighborhoods, and lower-density communities central to a realistic housing system. The book does not treat suburbia as a nostalgic leftover. It presents it as a durable response to everyday needs. This is important because housing policy often focuses on attracting young professionals to downtowns while overlooking what happens when those residents marry, have children, or seek lower costs. Kotkin's analysis suggests that a sustainable city is one that can serve people across life stages, not just one demographic segment. In that sense, the book links urban form to family economics and long-term social choice. Thirdly, dense cities are examined as mixed and limited environments. Kotkin does not reject density outright. Instead, he studies dense cities as places with real advantages and real costs. He looks at megacities, global metropolitan cores, and highly compact districts to show that density can support energy, access, and economic activity, but can also produce crowding, high costs, and limited household flexibility. Singapore plays an important role in this discussion because it is often treated as a model dense city. Yet even there, the question remains whether the same approach should be generalized everywhere. By comparing celebrated urban centers with their drawbacks, the book resists simplistic praise of compact development. This balanced approach matters because it moves the conversation beyond slogans. Kotkin's point is not that density never works, but that its success depends on context and on whether it serves the people expected to live there. Fourthly, dispersion, suburban growth, and alternative urban futures. Another major topic is Kotkin's argument that the future of urban development is likely to remain dispersed rather than concentrate only in core districts. He points to thriving suburbs, revitalized neighborhoods, and smaller cities as evidence that people continue to choose varied settlement patterns. In his view, the growth of suburbs is not a temporary deviation, but a structural feature of modern urban life. This helps explain why he favors a broader metropolitan model that includes residential neighborhoods within big cities as well as lower density communities beyond them. The practical significance is policy-oriented transportation, zoning, and infrastructure should not assume that every region should push toward the same compact form. Instead, planners should recognize that cities function as systems of multiple living arrangements. The book's vision of urban futures is therefore pluralistic, allowing different types of communities to coexist rather than forcing all development into one pattern. Lastly, a policy argument grounded in evidence rather than urban fashion. The book stands out because it is written as a counter-argument to prevailing urban fashion, but it tries to support that argument with history, economics, and demographic observation rather than with nostalgia alone. Kotkin draws on research and broad social trends to show that housing preferences are diverse and that many people do not want the kind of compressed living often praised in planning circles. This makes the book useful for readers who want to understand how urban policy affects real households, not just design theory. It also explains why the book has appeal beyond architecture or planning specialists. Its claims touch labor mobility, affordability, family life, and regional competitiveness. Even readers who disagree with Kotkin are likely to find the book significant because it challenges the assumptions behind contemporary urbanism and forces a clearer accounting of trade-offs. Its value lies in making urban form a question of social fit, not aesthetic preference alone. In conclusion, The Human City is best suited for readers interested in urban planning, housing policy, city futures, and the social consequences of development choices. It will be especially useful for planners, policymakers, real estate professionals, and general readers who want a critique of the idea that high density is always the most progressive or sustainable option. The book's practical benefit is that it broadens the conversation beyond downtown revitalization and transit-oriented development to include family needs, affordability, neighborhood choice, and the long-term realities of metropolitan growth. Intellectually, it is valuable because it treats urbanism as a contested field rather than a settled consensus. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its strong and sustained defense of suburban and lower density living as legitimate, modern, and often preferable for ordinary households. Instead of romanticizing sprawl or idealizing the compact city, Kotkin asks what kinds of places actually work for most people across their lives. That makes the book a pointed, policy-driven intervention rather than a generic celebration of cities. If you would like to support Joel Kotkin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.